I guess everybody dreams and imagines and hopes that someday their family would be the perfect imitation of the Holy Family of Nazareth. Well, it's probably not going to happen. Because number one, your children are not Jesus Christ, although the Spirit of God dwells in them. And you are not Joseph and Mary, probably, which means that you're probably not as perfect as they were, or as maybe you could even be. But it is a good Sunday to talk about family life. Family life has suffered terribly in the last 5 decades. It has almost been made a mockery. It's like people make fun of the family. There was a time when children were considered to be a blessing from God. So if you had 3 or 4 or 5 children, or depending where you live, some areas maybe 8 to 10 children or 12 children, you were considered to be a blessed family. Now people look at you and say, man, they're crazy. Either that or overpassionate Catholics or something of that nature. But it's like they kind of make fun of family life. And you know, it's the foundation of everything we are. It's the foundation of society. If you don't have a solid family life, you have a broken down society. And that's what we are seeing. You don't have a church because the church is based on family, Christian family life. People who dedicate themselves to Christ, to growing in Christ, to being his example in this world by just doing good stuff. It doesn't mean you have to be walking around all day praying or spend nights in fasting and prayer. It just means that you try to be a decent human being as Christ asks you to be. And that's the way the message gets around. And the foundation of the church, as a matter of fact, the family is called the domestic church. It's the foundation of everything that the church can be. So much depends on the solid, dedicated family life. And if you really take the time and look in our world today, you can see the consequences of society, of family life that has broken down. There are two virtues that are very, very important in family life and in all life. But it's like nobody wants to say them anymore. You know, like obedience. You know, there was a time obedience was considered to be a virtue, and it still is. To obey, to simply listen to somebody who either has authority over you as a parent or as a teacher or your boss at work or your sergeant in the army, whatever it may be. There are people who have authority, and their job is to make sure that people stay united, going in the same direction. And so there's nothing wrong with obedience. But we've made it something like it's a terrible burden that no one should be allowed to impose on anybody on the face of this earth. How cruel, how mean, how vicious. You're going to deprive that person of their development of their spirit, whatever that is. But their spirit can't develop without some kind of direction. So one thing is obedience. It's a virtue necessary in society, necessary in family life, necessary in all life. We're never done listening or obeying. You can be as old as I am, and you still have to listen and obey. And that's pretty old. Another one is discipline. We say now, well, what the kid needs to go to the army. At least they'll get some discipline there. It's like that's the only place it's allowed to be. A discipline is necessary in everything that we do. Otherwise, it's all chaos. Can you imagine walking into a classroom as a teacher and walking into a classroom where there's absolutely no rules? Kids can do and say and think and whatever they feel like, and you have to put up with that. How are you supposed to pass any knowledge onto them at all? It's impossible. They make it impossible. And that's what's happened to our society. Because family life becomes undisciplined, so does society become undisciplined. So how do you tell people that, you know, you can own all the guns you want. Guns don't kill people, do people? People kill people. How do you tell them, why don't you leave that thing at home and use it for whatever you need it for? If you want to go hunting or something of that nature, or you feel it protects you in your home, fine. But learn how to use it. You have to have discipline. You can't just go shooting because you feel like it. But that's what happens when you have no discipline, and it's just all right to do whatever you want, and everybody in the world has to like it. A lot of people aren't going to make it. Unfortunately, in our world, we have terrible, family life has terrible competition today. And it's called the electronic world. When television invaded homes some, how many years ago? 60, 70 years ago. Everybody thought it was great. It was wonderful. You had about two channels you could watch, and you could watch wrestling and stuff like that. There wasn't much else on. But it's invaded society. I'm not going to ask, but look at your own homes. I bet some homes have TVs in every room. I've been in houses like that. And they're on constantly, constantly. Or when the family gets together, everybody's twittering on their phones. You know, they usually don't talk to people. They text or Twitter or whatever they do, you know. Or they're playing games. They don't even talk to each other. You don't listen to each other. I bet sometimes in families, kids don't know their brothers and sisters' names. I bet that's a fact. Because they never talk to them. All they do is this stuff. I heard a story one time about a grandmother. And every year she would have her family, which had grown fairly large over the years. She would have them all to her house for Thanksgiving. It was a big celebration. They would come some the day before, and anyway, it was a big celebration. They'd all stay overnight and leave the next day. And then she noticed one year how the conversation was very poor. And nobody seemed to stay around. They wanted to go home. They didn't stay around, they didn't laugh, they didn't talk, tell stories, enjoy a drink with each other. They didn't do any of that stuff. It was just kind of like it was a dead party. And so the lady figured out very quickly what the problem was. So the next year, she had a basket at the front door, and she collected every cell phone, every electronic game, and she put them in that basket, and she locked them in a closet. They were not allowed to go to them for anything. And she gave it back to them as they left the next day. And the conversation totally changed. People had fun, they visited with each other, they talked, they told their stories, and all of this stuff that families are supposed to do, to come together, support, to argue, to disagree, to tell lies, and all that other kind of stuff. But they have fun. It doesn't happen anymore. It's supposed to happen. You know, the family dinner was always a sacred time. Every day, you had to be there for dinner. And you had to be there on time. It wasn't something that you decide, well, I have to play soccer, I have to play football. There's no excuse. No excuse at all. You had to be there. Because that's when family things happen. That's when you can learn. That's when you can discuss. That's when you can find support if you're hurting. That's when you can figure out things and how do I deal with this in my life? But if we allow the electronics to take over our world, they're going to destroy our world. They have no brains of their own, although they think they do now. We're the ones that's supposed to be in charge. We're supposed to be in charge of family life. You're the parents. You're the parents. You need to take charge and say, this is the way it's going to be. They say, oh, no, you can't impose that on us. You know, that's cruel and unfair punishment, and you're restricting my rights and all of this other kind of stuff. Well, when you're born into this world, you are not born with all the wisdom and knowledge of hundreds of years. You're born with what they used to call a tabula rasa, a blank page. And it was your family, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your family, your neighbors, you know, who helped you form and fill up that page with your life experience, with stories, so that you learned how to live in society with other people. That doesn't just happen because you're born. It's like it doesn't just happen that you're a solid Christian when you were baptized. That's the beginning. When you are born is the beginning of your life in this world. When you were baptized is the beginning of your Christian life in this world. But you learn from there. That isn't the end of anything. And without that, how do you survive on your own? If you were born and your parents say, okay, here you are, good luck, enjoy life, we'll see you in about 20 years. Well, you know what's going to happen. So we need to look at the Holy Family. We're not going to imitate them perfectly. It was the Son of God. It was his mother who was totally sinless. It was Saint Joseph. I mean, these were totally dedicated people. They're very different from us in many, many ways. But at the same time, that same Christ lives in us. And the spirit of his family lives in us. But we have to make something happen with that. We can't just let things go because somebody in the world laughs at it and thinks it's funny, or makes a joke of it somehow, or mocks us for being stupid, or whatever it may be. We know. We have the example of the Holy Family. So we know what needs to be. It's interesting, St. Paul's letter, he talks about all the virtues that of the Christian life, these many virtues, but especially in family life, how true those are. And remember, one of them is patience. One of them is patience. But there's a whole mess of them. Heartfelt kindness, humility, meekness, patience, you know, forgiving one another, caring for one another, all of these things, this is all necessary. But it's not going to be learned simply by being born. It's taught. It's taught by example. It's taught by word of mouth. It's taught by experience. Pope Francis, he summarized things. He likes to do that. He summarized things pretty succinctly. He said, for a happy family life, there's three things. May I? I'm sorry. Thank you. There's three little phrases. May I? Instead of I demand, it's my right. You owe that to me. May I? I'm sorry. How many times do you have to say that? And thank you. Try that.